Turn your Bibles to Acts 11, and Acts 11 today. Acts 11 and verse 21. When I was a teenager back in the day, long, long time ago, I heard people get up in church and give their testimony and say, well, back in the good old days, Pastor, this and this happened. Back in the good old days, before, you know, everything got crazy. And I never understood that. I was a teenager. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s. And to me, this was the good old days. That was the great old days, you know. We had Michael Jackson. You had parachute pants and moonwalk and all the cool stuff. And to me, that was the greatest days. I didn't understand what they were talking about. What do you mean good old days? Come on, this is the good old days. I'm a teenager. This life is great. But now I'm 45. I'm getting older. And it's like, wow, I missed the good old days. This world's crazy. And now I'm talking like they're talking. They were talking way back then. And, you know, the older I get, it's like, man, can this world get any crazier? Everything goes on. You're like, wow, what's going on? You know, it seems like everything's right, it's wrong, everything wrong is right, and we live in an evil, broken world. You know, you don't believe me, go to Walmart. Sit there and watch people, just do people watching. You're like, whoa, you know, just watch people back and forth. You're like, wow. In fact, I was at Hungry Howie's the other day, and people are on this health kick diet now. Everybody wants to get healthy and get in shape and exercise and all this stuff, and this girl came in at Hungry Howie's. You know, you get a Wacky Wednesday of $5.95, a large cheese pizza. She came in and said, listen, I'm on this new diet now. I want you to take this cheese pizza, instead of doing 12 slices, cut in 6 slices for me. That way, bad joke. Okay, you're gonna get it. Just kidding. But we live in a crazy world. And as this world gets crazier and crazier, we need to know who we are, who you are. Any great counselor will find out the root of the problem, of who you really are, what's going on in your life, who you really are. And so today, we want to talk about who are you. Well, some may say, well, I'm a plumber, I was a lawyer, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm a teacher, I'm a police officer. Not really, that's not who you are. That's what you did, that's your vocation, but that's not who you are. Your identity is who you are. You know, out of that show of hands, most of us say we're Christians, we're Christ followers. And in fact, 72% of America says they're Christians. But what does that mean? What does it mean to say, I'm a Christian? I'm a Christ follower. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, thank you for being so good to us. As we open up your word and read about being a Christian, maybe come out encouraged that we are Christ followers. We are Christians, and we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Acts 11, 21. In Acts 11, 21, it says, the Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That's the key passage. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. A little background to the story. It takes place in the city of Antioch. Now, Antioch is the capital of Syria. It was a Gentile town with very few Jews. In fact, we know that there's about 200,000 people there in Antioch, but didn't have many Jews at all because there was no synagogue there. You need at least 10 Jew men to start a synagogue, and there was no synagogue there. However, when Stephen got martyred, remember he was stoned to death in the scriptures, many Christians fled north to Antioch. We don't know how many, but we know there are quite a few of them. And there, they weren't scared to share their faith. They began sharing their faith at Antioch, and the revival was going on. People were receiving Christ, being saved, and a true revival was taking place. And Barnabas needed help. He would have found Saul to help him out. You know, he said, man, great things are happening. God's working here in Antioch. Come help me out. He went and found him. For a whole year, they taught and served the Lord there. And it says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, being called a Christian back then was not a compliment. Okay, it was a cut down. It was a put down. It was not a compliment there. It literally meant a slave of Christ. And they didn't want to be slaves to anybody. It's an insult to them. I love what Tacitus, the first century Greek historian, wrote. He said this, the vulgar call them Christians. It's a vulgar word back then. It's a vulgar language, bad language, cuss word. All right? It wasn't good. You know, back then they had their society believing in freedom. You know, the Romans wanted freedom and all this. So to be called a Christian was not a badge of honor. Now we wear it a badge of honor, don't we? And many times I see Christians with their head down. We're a Christian. The media, you know, the media talks about Christians in a negative way. But I want you today to be encouraged that we are Christians. So they called them Christians. What does that mean to be a Christian? Does it mean that you follow a particular belief system? Well, I believe this, 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 I'm a Christian. Is that what it means? Does it mean I have a certain morality? Well, I don't, you know, smoke, chew, or date girls that do, so I'm good. No? Does it have a certain morality there? Does it mean I improve my behavior? I change and improve one's behavior. You're a Christian. Does it mean joining the church? Does it mean you practice your worship regularly? Come on Easter and Christmas. What does it mean to be a Christian? Now, there's tons and tons. We could spend weeks and weeks on this and a whole year on this. But the Holy Spirit left four things to me about Christian. Four quick points. All right, once again, there's plenty of more. These are four points that the Holy Spirit led me. Number one, to be a Christian means I've been regenerated. I've been changed. All right, to be changed. That means regeneration means there's an actual change in a person's life. When you become a Christian, you come by trusting the sacrifice of Christ and that he died on the cross for our sins. So there's got to be a change in your life, a change. Acts 11:21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. All right, when we believe, we turn from our sin and turn to God. We call that repent, don't we? Repentance. We believe. We've been regenerated, renewed. There's a change that happens in our life. At 13, there's a change in my life. When I received Christ, my life was changed. And I wasn't bad. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't doing all the bad stuff or anything else. But my heart was changed. My heart wasn't the same. My attitude wasn't the same. Things changed in my life. There was a change that took place. To be a Christian, there's got to be a change that takes place in our lives. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, for if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Being a Christian means you're changed on the inside, not controlled from the outside. It means your heart has been changed by the presence of God. It does not mean that you're required to go to church or pay your tithes, required to be good, required to do anything else to be a Christian. But we do those things because we've been changed. Our lives have been changed. So if you're a Christian, you say a Christian today, your life has been changed. You're no longer the same. You're a new creature. We had this one girl on youth years ago, and we worked with her, and every service, every youth rally, she'd want to get saved. And we explain. Me and Marcia sit down and explain to her over and over, you know, it's got to be a change in your life. When you receive Christ, there's got to be a change. And the next week, she'd want to get saved again and said, there's got to be a change in your life. And when you receive Christ, there was a change in your life. You weren't the same. You are a new creature. You're regenerated. You're reborn, as Scripture says. So number one, to be a Christian, there's got to be a change in our lives. Number two, to be a Christian means I have the Holy Spirit in my life. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. The Holy Spirit guides us and directs us, and so we can make it through this life. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you are also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we are sealed with our salvation through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's important, and many times Baptists, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us through this life, to direct us to this life as Christians. First, our lives are changed. Then we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He seals our salvation. Jesus said in John 14:16, the Holy Spirit's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our guide through this journey of life. He comforts us. You know, God, you know, the Holy Spirit's there with us, guiding us, directing us in our lives. And John 16:13 says he reveals truth to us. When you read Scripture, before you're saved, you didn't know what you're reading. Like, that doesn't quite make sense. Noah did all that, really? And then when you got regenerated, you became saved, it made sense. The Holy Spirit reveals Scripture to you. He makes it clear. He makes you help you understand it. He directs your paths. How many times have you gone down the road and there's an accident 2 minutes earlier and God's protected you? The Holy Spirit directed you. Maybe you dropped your keys or something happened, you had to stop. Now, how many times has God directed your path? He said, and which way to go? You know, God, the Holy Spirit directs us and moves us as Christians. He leads us the way we should go in spiritual things. Also, the Holy Spirit functions as a fruit producer. You know, in a youth group, we always sing the fruits of the Spirit. He produces fruit in our lives. Love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces those in our lives. So number one, as Christians, our lives have been changed. Number two, the Holy Spirit is within us as Christians, as Christ followers. Number three, to be a Christian means I have peace within my soul. I have peace. Christians have peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, as Christians, we have peace. We have peace the world's after. The world wants to know that eternal peace within our hearts. You know, we run around scared and worried all the time. We shouldn't be that way as Christians. You know, we have the peace within our souls. We have the peace first of salvation. We're going to go to heaven one day. We have a home in heaven. I know where I'm going when I die. Do I want to die? No. But when I die, I know where I'm going. It's set. I have peace of heaven. I have peace that God's in control no matter what happens. I have peace. I have peace that the Holy Spirit's going to guide me and direct me. I have peace that I shouldn't worry. Do I worry? Yes. But should I? No. God's in control. I have peace. I have peace that I shouldn't live in fear. How many times through Scripture does the Bible say, fear not, fear not? Over 100 times, fear not, fear not. We don't have to live in fear as Christians. As a Christian, we have peace within our hearts. God gives us that peace. That's what the world wants, that peace that we have. D.L. Moody said this, a great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is enter into it. Now, God's given us that peace. We don't have to do anything. The Holy Spirit's given it. Through Jesus dying on the cross, we have that peace. We have that peace in our souls. So, with Christian, why are we fretting? Why are we worrying all the time? We have that peace. Number four, I'm a Christian because I love Jesus. I love the Lord. And how many of you love the Lord today? We love the Lord. Ever since I was 13 years old, as a boy accepted Christ, I've loved Him. At 16 years old, in youth group, I surrendered to Him. I've loved Him. And you have too. We love the Lord. No, we're not perfect. Yes, we sin. We fall flat on our face many times. But we love Him. Matthew 22:37, He said you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Do you love Him? Is He your best friend? He's always been there for me. He's always been there for you. He always blesses us. He always provides for us. He's never forsaken us. He's a good God. He loves me. As a Christian, we love Him. Do you love Him? Well, real quick, that's who we are as Christians. We're Christ followers. We've been regenerated. We've been renewed. We've been bought with a great price. We have the Holy Spirit that guides us through our lives. And we have the peace that passes all understanding. And we love the Lord. That's who we are as Christians. We are Christ followers, bought and paid the ultimate price. And it's nothing we did. It's what Christ did for us. So I'm tired of us walking around with our heads down as I'm a Christian. Put your shoulders back. Put your head back. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. Not because of what I did, because of what He did for me. I've been renewed. I have the Holy Spirit that guides me and directs my life. I have peace that passes all understanding. And I love Him so much. I am a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. What about you today? Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you haven't been changed. Maybe your lives haven't been changed. Today we're going to have an invitation. Miss Laura's going to come up and sing a song, and Pastor's going to be up here, take him by the hand. And today's the day. You can have that peace that passes understanding. You can have that security. You can have that change in your life and become a Christian. Christians, don't be ashamed. Put your head up high. We are Christ followers. because of what Christ did for us. We are changed. Holy Spirit guides us. We have peace. And we love the Lord with all our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, thank you for being so good to us. God, we are Christ followers. And God, we wear that a badge of honor now, Father. Not because of what we've did, because of what you did on the cross for us. Lord, help us to love you. Help us never be ashamed of you, but to serve you. And help us to keep our head up, not to be proud that we are Christ followers. We are Christ's slaves because we love you so much. Be with us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.